We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen. I'm grateful for the good message this morning from the Word of God. I want to say, I was trying to think about when I first met Brother Ronnie Sutton, probably 45 years ago. We served together on a mission board out of San Antonio, Texas, and I'm grateful for the privilege of being here. It's always a highlight to come to Unity Baptist. And I'm thankful for the fellowship we enjoy because of Christ. And I want to say thank you to you for your prayers and interest in our daughter and her situation, and for my wife and her recent surgery. And we say to God be the glory. I'll not go into all the details, but my daughter called me several months ago now and said, Daddy, it's been like a dark cloud that's been lifted. And I said, praise the Lord for his goodness and for his mercy. She's running wide open today and teaching piano again and playing piano in the church and very actively involved. She said, I'm trying to make up for time that I've lost for a year, but I'm grateful for your kindness and your prayers. I would be happy to sit and listen to Brother Jamie continue that message. That was powerful. But let me share with you just a little thought this morning. If you'll note with me in your hymn book to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I said it right, hymn book. It's all about him from Genesis all the way through the book of the Revelation. The Bible said, speaking of Jesus, he said, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not in their sin, but from their sin. And so, and all the names given to Christ, none has been sufficient to express all his goodness and all his glory. I say he is the Alpha, but he's the Omega. He is the door, but he's the way. He is the foundation, but he is the cornerstone. I say to you that he is the root, but he is the branch. He is the star, but he is the sun. I say he's the lily, but he's the rose. I'm reminded us again that he is the lamb, and he is the lion. I say he's the light, and he's the life. And he's the word, and he's the truth. And he's the first, and he's the last. And I'm saying, I'm glad I know him. It's over 63 years ago that I met him, and he became my personal Savior. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. One day soon, I believe, the world will join us in singing to our ascended and glorified Lord the gracious hallelujah anthem to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and every knee will bow, every mouth will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to share just a Sunday school lesson this morning on this book that charts my course. This book that never changes. This book that's settled in heaven. This book who's settled in my heart. I'm grateful that I have a book, have a guide, have a chart to go by. It's not what I think, not what you think. It's what God said in his word. I believe we'll be judged by that book. So would you pray with us, and then I'll read some scriptures. Lord, thank you for the good Sunday school hour and the message from your blessed book. I do pray that he, the Holy Spirit, would have liberty to work in us and through us. I pray that you'd bring conviction to our heart. You'd change our lives to be more like thee. And may we give you the glory and the praise and the honor that's duly to be given to thee. Pray that you rebuke the enemy. I plead the blood of Christ. I pray that you would cover our head in the day of battle. And Lord, you said when the enemy shall come in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord would raise up a standard against him. Thank you for our victory in the Lord Jesus. Bless, I pray, every place where the Word of God is preached today. I pray that you would give the increase, and may you be glorified in all that's said and done. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. In the book of 2 Timothy, Brother Philip last night referenced part of this, and but we're living in a day of ministerial fabrications. There's fellows that's standing in pulpits today that God never called. We're living in a day of, listen, of spiritual stagnation. We're living in a day of moral degeneration and the wickedness that goes on in churches. I'm not talking about that other crowd. I'm talking about the fundamental independent Baptist churches and folks that have violated the Word of God. The Bible said, This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep in houses and led captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose of faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium, Lystra, and what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. For evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known. Did you get the verse? The Bible said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. As I look at this, I say apostasy is clarified in verse 1 through 9. No doubt about it, there's a description of apostasy. In verse 10 through 13, apostasy is contrasted. In verse 14 through 17, apostasy is counteracted. How's it counteracted? In verse 14 and verse number 15, it's counteracted by the man of God. I say in verse number 16 through 17, it's counteracted by the Word of God. And so we are living in the last days, no question about it. The Word of God does what? The Word of God will prepare the child of God for spiritual maturity and spiritual activity. I'm saying, God, help us to be reminded that we've got a book that charts our course. If we have questions, He has the answer. Amen. And so I'm saying this. I got four little things I want to say. I want to say I'm glad that I have a book that charts my course, and it does this. It shows me the sinfulness of sin. That is, it declares the scriptures makes us wise
The Bible said in verse number 15, the scriptures made us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. Dr. Vance Havner talked about the preacher who preached and preached and preached and almost said something. There's those that go through the motions but have nothing to say. I'm privileged to be able to be in several meetings in a year, and I hear some of the most ungodly things that's supposed to be Bible preaching and Fundamental Independent Baptist. That's where I go, Fundamental Independent Baptist Churches. But I'm saying in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, the Bible said sin is transgression of the law of God. Sin is transgression. When we sin, it's transgression against the law of God. Sin is a universal fact. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is an individual practice. We are sinners today. We're either saved sinners or lost sinners. And that's dependent upon what we do with the Lord Jesus. And again, sin is individual practice, and sin produces physical delight. There's pleasures of sin for a season, the Bible tells us. But sin produces serious, demoralizing consequences. We're living in a day where sin is laughed about. Living in a day when folks make light of those who believe the Bible. And I say to you, say what you may, I've come too far to turn back now. I'm grateful that I have a King James Bible, the unadulterated Word of God, that saved my soul, changed my life, and directs my step day by day. I'm thankful that I have a book that charts my course. It says, shows me the sense, makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. It's illustrated in the life of David, the man after God's own heart, in Psalm 51. It soils the soul. David talks about that in verse number 1 and 2. But it makes us feel dirty in the mind. It saturates the mind. Verse 3 said, my sin is ever before me. It's like an open wound. Listen, I want to go to the house of God. And when I go, I want the man of God to open the Word of God and tell me what's wrong in my life and show me how to get it right. Amen. It's not enough just to expose sin. We need to show a person a way back to fellowship with God. So sin breaks fellowship. It does not break relationship. I'm thankful that relationship is sealed forever. But again, David said, my sin is ever before me like an open wound. It stings the conscience, verse 4. It saddens the heart, verse 8. And then once David had joy, but now he's saying, will you restore to me the joy of thy salvation? And he said that because God brought him to the place where he acknowledged his sin. Our problem today is this, not that we do not know, it's the fact that we're not responding. The Spirit of God brings conviction to our heart, and there's no way to get that right unless there is repentance in our life. Somebody said, how you know you're repentant when you got saved? Well, I've been still repenting. Only got saved one time, but I have to come to the throne of God and plead for mercy and grace and forgiveness of sin. And by the way, I appreciate the verse in Proverbs 28:13. Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh sin shall have mercy. Thank God for mercy. But the Bible makes us wise. I was doing things, Brother Ernest, I was doing things when I got saved that I wasn't conscious was sin. But through the preaching of the Word of God, I was brought to the realization that that's sinful, that's wrong. Yeah, and so now I'm accountable to God. I'm accountable to God. And so whether I deal with that and allow God to change my life to agree with the Word of God, amen? And so I'm saying, God, I'm glad I have a Bible that makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. It sickens the body, sin does. The personal infection by sin. Sin disfigures a man, he's unclean. I say to you, sin disgraces a man, he has no friends. Sin deceives man. Sin disarms a man. There's no power to stop it. Amen. And again, sin will damn a soul to hell unless there's repentance. There's no escape from it. And so the power of that influences sin. according to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, if you'll notice with me a couple of verses in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, and let's look at verse number 2. The Bible said this. He said, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's where we were. He's going according to the wrong course. And again, the course of sin and the course of this world is always down, down, down. And man is under the wrong control, verse number 2 again. And man is going according to the wrong conduct. Notice verse 3, he said, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. How do I know that? I've got a Bible. I've got a Word of God that makes me wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. We've got churches today that's endorsing and embracing things that 25 years ago they wouldn't dream about. But today they applaud it and they participate in it and have showers for folk who are living in open sin in the facility down at the house of God. I'm saying to you, that's wicked, wicked, wicked sin. God does not make exception for sin. My sin is just as wicked as anybody else's sin. Sin is transgressing the law. He said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, to him and do it not to him, it is sin. You understand this? The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, I believe it is, he said the thought of foolishness is sin. That's why Dr. Seidler said, listen, be careful, boys, about this foolish jesting. The Word of God, the book that charts our course, and the course of the world, this world is always down, and so they're falling after the lust of the flesh. That was man without God and man without hope. I have a Bible that tells them, by the way, I don't believe anybody gets saved till they get lost. Our problem today is that we've got folks that are having people make decisions, but they're not making disciples. The Word of God, listen, is vitally important in your life and in my life. I need to know what God has to say about my sin. I won't listen, and it makes me wise concerning that. The Word of God does not change. But now, hold on a minute. Brace yourself. The Word of God will make us wise. Notice what Timothy said back in the book of 2 Timothy, and he said in verse 15 that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I don't believe, it's like my daughter. She has two children. We have two grandchildren. And she's called me one day and said, Daddy, said, Connor, that's my grandson, said, he's asking some questions about being saved. And she said, how do I respond? I said, answer his questions, but do not push him. Answer his questions. Now, I'm not one of those who believe that children cannot be saved. I believe they can be saved if they come to the knowledge of the truth. And so somebody said, what's the age of accountability? I don't know, and you don't either. One might know at 7, and another might be 15 before they know. But when they get to know right from wrong, they're accountable to God. And so I hear folks say, well, you know, they don't know what they're doing. Well, I'm convinced of this. Anytime anybody at any age has any desire to get closer to God or to come to God, you can rest assured the devil didn't put that there. The Holy Ghost of God puts the want to in the heart of a person to draw nigh to God. And by the way, that's why I got saved. The night I got saved, I can't tell you the preacher's name. I can tell you what he preached on. I can tell you the appeal that he made. I can tell you that I'm sitting where I was, felt pretty good about myself. But listen, the Spirit of God whispered in my ear, said, whosoever will may come. And I said, I believe I will. I got up from back there. I came to here. When I knelt, the blood fell. Jesus saved my soul, changed my life, gave me a new direction, and gave me an instruction book to pattern my life by. So I want to live my life according to the Word of God. Be careful, be careful. I would not touch anything that God is in. But I'm bothered about some of these preachers that go out and said we had 1,500 saved in this campaign that was only lasted 2 weeks. And we established three churches, I don't believe a word of it. I said, if 1,500 got saved, what's going on with that missionary we've been helping support in Mexico for 25 years that's not running 75? And so there again, they're out for decisions and not discipleship. And there is a vast difference. But the Spirit of God makes us wise. So here's what we go by. The Word of God, not my opinion or your opinion. It's the Word of God, the simplicity. I'm glad that salvation is simple. To hear some people tell it, you'd have to have a Philadelphia lawyer to interpret it in order for you to be saved. And when a person gets lost, they're a candidate to be saved. Amen. So Jesus said, whosoever will may come. And by the way, I didn't cry when I got saved. I didn't shout when I got saved. I didn't run the aisle when I got saved, but I got saved. Amen. So I said, I don't know about that, but you don't have to know. I know it. It's this, the simplicity. The Bible tells us about our sin, but the Bible also tells us about His grace and His salvation. And salvation is of the Lord. And so we come back to this. The subject of salvation in the Scripture demands fullest attention. It's to realize we cannot be hazy about it. We cannot be confused about it. Jesus said, whosoever will may come. I don't believe. The Bible said this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's never been anybody that knocked at heaven's door that was refused an entrance. If you come back, listen, I don't believe anybody gets saved unless they want to. I don't believe anybody's going to heaven unless they want to. It's a fact that God dealt in our heart. I was a good boy, but good boys go to hell if they've not been born again by the grace of God. And so I'm reminded that it makes us wise. Salvation is not by our worthiness. Salvation is not by anything we can do. Titus said it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm saying to you, if the Spirit of God is not convicting, I don't care how many professions they make, they still need to be born again by the grace of our God. So salvation is not according to our, it's not according to our good church attendance. I hear folk talking about, well, I'm a charter member. I've been there all these years. Charter members go to hell too if they're not saved by the grace of God. It's this, you know, you're not going to heaven dependent upon your church attendance, and you're not going to heaven because of your baptism. It's not by the water, and it's not by the wafer, and it's not by works, and it's not by wonders. It's simply by the grace of God. How'd I know that? The Word of God makes me wise concerning the sinfulness of sin and concerning the simplicity of salvation. Salvation is fully and completely by the Lord. Now, I want to see folks saved. If I could, I'd make a decision for others. But I have folks in my family that I'd get saved for. I have friends that I'd get saved for if I could. But no, it's a personal matter. It's when you come to the end of yourself and recognize you're, and by the way, you can't see God and all His holiness without realizing your wretchedness and your unbelief and your lost estate without God. And so salvation is fully, completely by the Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so it's a conformity to God through Christ is the only means of the saving grace for the soul. Jesus paid it all. Amen. And so again, I'm saying salvation is personally received. Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. But if the daddy of the house got saved, that doesn't mean all the children got saved. If the daddy got saved, it'd be by the grace of God. But if brother or sister got saved, it'd be it's a personal matter. And so I hear folks said, well, if you doubt your salvation, I doubt it too. I've heard them say, if you doubt your salvation, you're lost and on the way to hell. If that was true, every one of the disciples would be on the way to hell. because all of them doubted, not just one, not just Thomas. All of them doubted. John doubted. And somebody said, well, you know, I've never doubted. Well, that's wonderful. It's the fact of this. When you get to the place where you are orchestrating the thought that if you didn't pray a prayer this way, or if you didn't, salvation is of the Lord. And by the way, it's not dependent upon the words of your mouth, but the dedication of your heart. For with the heart man believeth in the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. When God moves in, somebody said, the little boy said, talking about Jesus coming in your heart, Jesus coming in your heart. He said, sir, said, if Jesus were to move into my heart, said, wouldn't he be sticking out? And I'd say, oh, yes. When he moves in, you can't hide him. But the word of God, the scriptures, we're not reading the opinion of some other man. We're reading the word of God. Jesus said, ye must be born again. But it didn't say you must be born again and again and again and again and again. Here's an evangelist that said, first thing I do when I go into a new church, I try to get everybody there lost. And by the way, he has a lot of professions. And if he came back next year, those same people would make another profession. God's not confused, and that preacher is going to be accountable to God. Amen. I think it is wicked, wicked, wicked for a preacher to pray upon weak Christians. Dr. James Jones called me one night. He was on the way back from a camp meeting. And he said, I'd like to ask you a question. And he made a statement. And he was one of that crowd that was saying, if you doubt, you've never been saved. And then we got preachers that they'll say, God told me that we got five people here tonight that is lost. God hadn't told him anything. That's something he's saying to try to impress people about his spirituality. I'll tell you, it's the Spirit of God that lets folk know that they're lost. I've had folks that I would thought, surely they know the Lord. They've been faithful and loyal, read their Bible and prayed, come to church regularly. But they walked an aisle and came brokenhearted and said, preacher, I am lost. And by the way, I want God to do it, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I want God to do it. I'd like to be a channel through which God can work through, but God does a saving. And God does a convicting. And God does a drawing. And listen, when a person by faith receives the Lord Jesus, they pass from death unto life. It wasn't that we were sick and needed a doctor. No, we were dead and we needed life. And he is the life giver. I'm saying thanks be to God for that. Makes us wise concerning the simplicity of salvation. So salvation is to be publicly displayed. We're to confess our faith before others. And by the way, we experience a new power, the Holy Spirit of God, as you're reading that Bible. And it's not always in church. Thank God for church. Thank God for preaching. But when you're reading the Word of God, sitting alone in a room or in an office somewhere, you could be sitting in your car, but you're reading the Word of God, and all of a sudden a verse leaps off the page and burns within your soul, and you think about it all day long, and you pillow your head tonight, and you're thinking about that same passage, and it's God's got something to say to me personally, so I wake up tomorrow morning. If I woke up in the night, it'd be upon my mind. I'm saying, thanks be to God for the Bible, the Word of God, the book that charts my course, that lets me know of the simplicity of salvation. Jesus said, whosoever will may come. Somebody said, well, I don't believe they got saved at that age. That's not for you to judge. That's between them and the Lord. And so we come back to this. We have power, the power of the Holy Spirit, a new power. We have power to face the world of sin. And by the way, just because you were not raised up in a godly home is no excuse for you not having a godly home. You can do what you want to do. And so it comes back to the power to face this world of sin, power to fight against Satan, and you have power to forsake sin. I'm saying you have power that fits you to serve God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, God working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we have a book that charts our course, but then notice thirdly, not only does it make this book makes me wise concerning the sinfulness of sin, and it makes me wise concerning the simplicity of salvation, but it makes me wise concerning the scriptures, concerning the greatness of God's grace. I'm grateful that God is a God of grace. grace is not a license to sin. Something wrong with a person that testifies about the grace of God and their life is so contrary to the Word of God. He's doing what? He's conforming us to the image of His dear Son. He wants us to be like the Lord Jesus. I can glean from Brother Brunson, and I cherish his friendship. I can glean from him, but it's God. It's God that does the work and the lasting work in my heart that makes me want to be like Him. And so here's an advanced definition of grace. Grace is God taking upon Himself the total responsibility for my sins, their guilt, and punishment for all of time and all of eternity. That's good grace of God. Let me say it again. Grace is God taking upon Himself the total responsibility for my sins, their guilt, and punishment for all of time and for all of eternity. That's why Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am, the grace of God. Saving grace, the grace of God was not in vain. They're sustaining grace. He said, I labored more. And there's the availability of God's grace in Hebrews 4 and 16, where He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might attain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. I don't know about you, but I need the help of God in my life on an everyday basis. And so I come back to this, the saving grace, sustaining grace, available God's grace. The need of grace is continuous. You can't store up enough grace today to last you through tomorrow. It's a continuous thing. And then the measure of grace is abundant grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. It's wonderful grace. It's marvelous grace. It's grace that surpasses our understanding. And so I see the measure of grace is abundant. The adequacy of God's grace, it protects us from a life of failure. It was the Lord Jesus who said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Did Peter's faith fail? He denied the Lord three times. But I'm grateful that he said, when thou art converted, it was Simon Peter. It was Andrew who first findeth his brother Simon and brings him to the Lord. No record of any sermon that Andrew preached. But what consolation and assurance he must have had that day when Simon Peter said, I'd like to answer that question. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't preach any sermons, no recorded message. But what about the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up and preached the Word of God? Amen. And 3,000 souls got saved. I'll take that record. 3,000. You said you believe they got saved? Oh, yes. I believe they got saved. But they not only got saved, they got baptized. Amen. Amen. I'm saying, here's Simon Peter. Not much written about him. But he's doing what? He's bringing his brother to the Lord, trying to get us. I'm convinced that we are failing in that department. We're not doing what we should be doing about getting others to Christ. Amen? And so we come back to this. God's Word makes us wise concerning simplicity of salvation. It makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. It makes us wise concerning the Scriptures, concerning the greatness of God's grace. And so the adequacy of God's grace, it protects us from a life of failure. It provides for my private needs. And it produces godly conduct. There's a lot of folks that say they're saved that they do not demonstrate that. And so the last little thought is this. The Scripture, this book that charts my course, makes us wise concerning my Christian conduct. How to act. How to react. Back up with me to the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, let's look at Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, let's look at verse number 42, I believe. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42. The Bible said, and they
They did what? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That's why I have some serious question about a person who'll come down the aisle and kneel at the altar and profess faith Sunday morning, and they're not back Sunday night, and they're not back Wednesday night, and in 2 weeks' time, Homeland Security couldn't find them. No, no, no. The evidence that you pass from death into life is you love the brethren, but you love God, you love God's house, and you love God's people. And so Peter preached a sermon, 3,000 has been saved, and it tells us that they advanced, they made progress. Something's wrong when we've got folks that do come to church and they're acting like babies spiritually, never grown up. They're walking around with a chip on their shoulder. By the way, if you don't wear a chip on your shoulder, it won't get knocked off. Amen. And so they've got to be pampered. Amen. God didn't call your man of God to be a babysitter. He is a messenger of the Lord. And could I insert something here? God didn't call us men. God didn't call us to be manufacturers. God called us to be distributors. And we've got too many men that are manufacturing messages and manufacturing appeals that's contrary to the book that charts my course. And so what I do when I have a book to go by, and when there's something questionable, I want to find out what God said about it. And when I find out what God said about it, if what they said doesn't agree, I put what they said in the garbage. I stand with what God said. And so, again, it tells us they advanced, they made progress in their spiritual life. They continued. Now, notice what Paul said to Timothy back in our text over. He said, but continue thou. He said, do what? He said, verse 14, he said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. It was God who taught us. It was God. By that I could go back in the days when I sat in the ministry of Dr. Bruce Lackey, and I heard him preach in the auditorium of Highland Park Baptist Church, and God sealed some things in my heart. I can tell you about the text. I'll tell you about the outline. That's been over 50 years ago, but God did that. God burned that indelibly in my soul. Why? Because here's a man that is faithful to the Word of God. And so he said, Timothy, I want you to continue in the things which thou hast learned. Stay with the same book. Stay with the same song. Stay with the same infinite. Say, continue in that. And so he said, the scripture makes you wise concerning our Christian conduct. They continued steadfastly. They never changed gears when they got sick. Listen, that's why I'm an independent Baptist today. I'm saying this. They advanced in Bible study and the apostles' doctrine, the Bible said. And by the way, there can be no progress without Bible study. That's why the key verse of 2 Timothy is, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so that's what we need to find out what God said. I hear folks said the Bible said so and so, and I can't find it in the Bible. And I'm not trying to pick on any other preacher, but I'm saying God help us to be careful about what we say, because the word of God is what we're going to be judged by. And so God save us from spiritual ignorance. It says, Christ warns us. He said, you do err not knowing the scriptures. You do err not knowing the scriptures. And so it says the Bible must be in our heads for enlightenment. And the Bible must be in our heart for the establishment. And the Bible must be in our hands for efficiency. And so they advanced not only, listen, in Bible study, they advanced in church attendance. Hebrews 10:25, he said, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approach. If I read that right, I believe that's plain enough to say you ought to be meeting more in the last days than you have been in the past. You ought to get closer to God. Amen. And so I'm saying they advanced in church witness. They advanced in intercession. They continued in prayers, the Bible said. They knew that prayer was vital to their spiritual growth, and prayer was vital for their spiritual health, and prayer was vital for their cleansing and for their spiritual conduct. And so prayer is the goal of God's purpose. It's the generator
of spiritual passion. It is a gateway of divine power. They advanced in holy living. And by the way, holiness is still in the Bible. Our Lord said, "Be holy, for I am holy." And again, I say this, their lives radiated Christ. Notice chapter 2 of Acts and verse 47. They're praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, and who added to the church? And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. I'm saying when the Lord adds them to the church, that will be right. And so I want folks to be saved. I want those who are saved to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, but you can't do it apart from this book that charts your course, this book. And so the psalmist said it this way. He said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And so here's what it is. Take heed to the word of God. It produces energy for my spiritual development. It produces establishment for sound doctrine. It produces encouragement for my deportment. And it produces an enlargement for my vision. And there's an establishment of my faith is based upon the word of God. The Bible said the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we're praying, "Dear Lord, would you open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous truth out of thy law." Thank God for the book that charts my course. I believe it said it was Moody who said, "Today you carry your Bible, for the day will come when your Bible will carry you." God help us to be men of the book, Brother Jacob.